You're listening to a chapel service recorded at Asbury Theological Seminary in Wilmore, Kentucky. For more information, visit asburyseminary.edu.
Need I say more? Last night when I talked with my wife, who was at the funeral of her sister-in-law, and told her about my struggle in preparation for our chapel this morning, she said, "I told you so. You have a death wish." And with the wisdom of the wife, she was indicating to me that you never speak in chapel on the same day that you have a Board of Trustees meeting. But I had to say that because of my desire to share with you what God has revealed to me through the study of the Altar's Gate experience, and particularly its meaning for our heritage and for our own spiritual life, I said I still want to speak. Altar's Gate is a marker point along the long road of John Wesley's journey of faith. But more than that, Altar's Gate is a magnificent intersection between the journey of faith of John Wesley, and especially the evidence of the grace of God at work in his life. At convocation time, you'll remember that we tried to set the theme for our Altar's Gate year by tracing Wesley's tortured steps in that long journey towards saving faith and inner holiness. Remember, hunger of soul took him through his search as a student, as a priest, as a missionary, and as a scholar. And earnestly he sought for salvation and for the certitude of deliverance from his sins through intellectualism, through legalism, through moralism, ritualism, and even mysticism. But none of these could satisfy him. And yet, in each of those frustrating steps, as we saw God's gracious Spirit at work in prevenient grace, we saw in that journey of faith of Wesley the leading, the pursuing, the prodding, the convicting, and the drawing grace of God, ever bringing him closer to that experience called Altar's Gate, when he would feel for the first time his heart strangely warmed. Now, as we remember that experience and identify with Wesley in the journey of prevenient grace, that brings us to the threshold of the Altar's Gate experience. We then realize that Altar's Gate Day, May 24, 1738, was a drama all of its own, somewhat the culmination of God's grace and Wesley's journey of faith coming together at that intersection called Altar's Gate. He awakened very early in the morning, as was his custom, to meditate, to read the Word, and to pray before he went about his duties. That morning, as he awakened, he said that in my meditation, my life since the age of 10 passed before my eyes as a panorama. And then he opened the Word of God about 5 a.m. in the morning, and there he read as his devotional passage that morning that great promise from the Epistle of Peter, "There are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, even that you should be partakers of the divine nature." And then after getting ready for the day, just before he went out, he opened his testament one more time, and he read, "Thou art not far from the kingdom of God." Later in the afternoon, a friend invited him to go to St. Paul's Cathedral, where he there heard the choir sing an anthem, perhaps like our anthem this morning. That one began, "Out of the deep I have called unto thee, O Lord. O Lord, hear my voice." And that anthem concludes, "O Israel, trust in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption, for he shall redeem Israel from all his sins." And then in the evening, prodded by a friend, Wesley says he went very unwillingly to a society on Aldersgate Street where someone was reading Luther's preface to the Epistle of the Romans. And about a quarter of nine, as that person read about the change that is wrought in the hearts by God through faith, Wesley testifies, "I felt my heart strangely warmed. I felt I did trust in Christ, Christ alone, for my salvation. And an assurance was given me that he had taken away my sin, even mine, and saved me from the law of sin and death." Critics have tried to discount Aldersgate. Critics have tried to debunk it. There have been those who said this was nothing more than a gust of feeling or an attack of indigestion that Wesley suffered. Others look on it as an emotional rebound from his frustrated love affair with Sophia Hupke. And still others want to put Wesley on the psychiatrist's couch and say, here is a classic example of William James' sick soul that he describes in the book Varieties of Religious Experience. And some historians discount Aldersgate because John Wesley himself only mentioned it one other time in 50 years of journal writing that followed. And those who were the strict religionists and the staid people of the Church of England there ridiculed it as enthusiasm, a pejorative term for which warm-hearted Methodists are always accused. But Aldersgate is far more than just a gust of feeling. At Aldersgate, we see the gift of God's grace with which we can all identify, and God's saving grace that brought us to this moment. And Wesley's testimony reminds us that the saving grace of God through the work of the Holy Spirit regenerates us in the image of Christ, justifies us through the blood of Christ, and assures us of our salvation through the witness of the Holy Spirit and in the love of Christ. We see in his testimony this fact: saving grace regenerates us in the image of Christ. Saving grace regenerates us in the image of Christ. Regeneration is the work of the Holy Spirit through God's grace in us, by which we are made new creatures and whole persons in the image of Christ. There's no doubt that Aldersgate was an emotional experience. Keep in mind what it meant for Wesley. As we traced his early life, if you remember, he was a boy of whom his father said that he would not even attend to the necessities of life without having a reason for it. He was a youth who put under rigid control every adolescent and teenage impulse. He was a pastor who held his parishioners to almost an obsessive ritualistic possession and demand on them. And now, Wesley, you have to understand that here is the revolutionary awakening of all these suppressed emotions when he comes forward to testify at Aldersgate night, "I felt my heart strangely warmed." For the first time, Wesley could admit feeling as well as fact, heart as well as head, strangeness as well as order, and the warmth of love as well as the coolness of reason. And our spiritual experiences need that kind of regenerating influence, that burst upon us by which God regenerates us by the work of his Holy Spirit in the image of Christ, and we become new and whole creatures. I identify with Wesley. As a 12-year-old boy, I built a wall of protective righteousness around myself in order to hide the sin of my heart. And then one day, in a young people's service, my aunt, who was in charge, devised a scheme of entrapment by asking that everyone give their testimony according to their last name in alphabetical order. And I can remember that young people's service. I was like the man who was eating alphabet soup, and he said, I kept seeing my name come up. And that night, as my aunt began down through the list, it was A, it was B, it was C, and the countdown then came to M. And I can remember that my grandfather, my grandmother, my father, my mother, and even my 7-year-old sister testified, and then there was silence as they all looked at me. I broke out in cold sweat and then finally stood and confessed that I did not have peace in my heart, and I asked them to pray for me. My dad met me at the altar, and together we prayed through to trust and in Christ and our salvation. Afterwards, I remember riding home in Ypsilanti, Michigan, in an old gray 1938 Plymouth. My dad was driving. I was in the rider's seat. My mom and my sister were in the back seat. And as we crossed the bridge over Huron River on Cross Street there, my dad began to sing, "There's a New Name Written Down in Glory." And for the first time in my life, I could honestly echo the refrain, "And it's mine. Oh, yes, it's mine." And no one can take away the validity of that emotional experience from me. And I understand then why John Wesley and a troop of his friends, after the Altar's Gate experience and his testimony, then went singing through the streets of London on the way to Charles Wesley's house. And when they got there, brother said to brother, John said to Charles simply these words, "I believe," and another song broke out. And if you remember, it was the birth song that Charles had written to celebrate his own conversion just a few days earlier. It went like this: "Where shall my wandering soul begin? How shall I all to heaven aspire? A slave redeemed from death and sin. How a brand plucked from eternal fire. How shall I equal triumphs raise or sing my great deliverer's praise?" We cannot negate or discount or debunk the regenerating experience at Altar's Gate when John Wesley said, "I felt my heart strangely warmed." Regenerating grace has that integrating character by which we are made not only new creatures, but whole creatures in Christ Jesus. Keep in mind that Wesley brought to Altar's Gate a disciplined mind and an obedient will. And he needed that moment by which this was put together in balance. In other words, spiritual monsters are created if it's all mind or all will or all emotion. One of the things that we find today, that in evangelicalism in particular, there is a tendency to put the emphasis on emotion, and some of us are having to learn to backfill that experience through the grace of God with the discipline of mind in seminary and the obedience of will where God wants to take us. Keep in mind also that the regenerating experience of saving grace is also very intimate. John Wesley, who had lived in the world of facts and theories and philosophical constructs and theological abstractions, now in this testimony says, "Me, my, mine." And it gives us the idea that this regenerating experience of Altar's Gate is immediate, it is intimate, and it is direct. And John Wesley, therefore, gives us that testimony as the evidence of saving grace through the regeneration by which he is made a new creature in Christ Jesus. Altar's Gate is also not only regenerating grace, but it's justifying grace. Justifying grace. Justifying grace by which we are forgiven according to the atoning blood of Jesus Christ on the cross. Wesley says in that testimony, "I felt that I did trust Christ and Christ alone for my salvation." Once again, think what this meant for Wesley. May sound easy for us, but we have to keep in mind that here was a man who brought to Altar's Gate all of the good and legitimate works by which he sought his salvation and inner holiness. And now for the first time, he has to, as Kathy Stonehouse told us this morning, he collapsed before God. And as she mentioned, one of the students who said, you have to leap off from a cliff, but no, you just give yourself in total surrender to God. So Wesley, in that moment, then put aside all of his works, all of his intellect, all of his searching, all of himself, and in that moment, he trusted Christ and Christ alone for his justification. John Stott, in that magnificent book, The Cross of Christ, gives 4 images of the meaning of our salvation. He says propitiation for our sins is the image of the shrine. Here at the shrine is where we see the blood sacrifice of Christ made by which we are atoned for our sins. And then he says, redemption is the image of the marketplace. And here at the marketplace, we see Christ coming to buy us from our captivity and to free us from sin. And then he talks about the image of justification as a court of law. And here in the court of law, we see Christ coming and taking upon himself our guilt and serving out our sentence that we might be justified. And then the fourth image he has is reconciliation, which he says is the image of the home. And Christ then comes to us in his saving and redeeming grace, by which then we are reconciled to God as a member of the family, by which we cry, Abba, Father. And we must remember, as we consider Aldersgate, that in that moment, for the first time, John Wesley put aside his intellect, he put aside his ritual, he put aside his moralism, he put aside his mysticism, and he said, never again will I depend on this. In fact, he said, these are only refined ways by which we're trying to, by good works, enter into the kingdom of heaven. But now he takes on that hymn of Top Lady in the Rock of Ages that we sing so often. This is the picture of justifying grace in the life of John Wesley. Nothing in my hands I bring, simply to the cross I cling. Naked, come to you for dress. Helpless, look for you for grace. Foul, I to the fountain fly. Wash me, Savior, or I die. Justifying grace was evident when he said, I felt that I trusted Christ and Christ alone for my salvation. Not only regenerating grace and justifying grace, but then there is in saving grace the assurance that we have been forgiven by the love of Jesus Christ through the witness of the Holy Spirit. Wesley witnessed once again when he says, I felt an assurance that was given to me that he had taken away my sin, even mine, and saved me from the law of sin and death. Wesley's often accused of being weak in theology, but nothing can be farther from the truth. You know, someone defined theology as giving elaborate answers for questions that people aren't asking. But may I suggest to you that if this is the case, Wesley is a poor theologian. But if you take the questions that people are asking, Wesley is a giant in the field. Because each of us wants to know, how can we be sure of our salvation? And so Wesley, because there's no theology that can encompass the Aldersgate experience, turns to the Scriptures, and he comes to the passage that Dr. Edwards read for our Scripture this morning. The Spirit of God witnesses with our spirit that we are God's children. And thus, the witness of the Spirit becomes that litmus test for Methodism. And the doctrine of assurance joins prevenient grace out of Aldersgate as a unique theological contribution of our Wesleyan heritage to the church through the biblical theology of the witness of the Spirit. And you know, certainty of salvation is always a dilemma. I grew up in a Wesleyan holiness church, but I must confess that until many years later, I never heard of the doctrine of assurance. And I struggled for years with my fears that I might not be saved and that I would lose my faith. I can remember the Calvinists helped me out one time when Robert McCracken of the Presbyterian Church out of Pittsburgh gave me some assurance when he said, if you're walking down the road and you see a turtle on a fence post, you know it didn't get there by itself. Now, that helped me a bit until I read Calvin and found out that Calvin, even with irresistible grace and the perseverance of the saints, said that the greatest struggle that the saint has is the uncertainty of salvation. And then I realize that here is the message coming out of Aldersgate that says that we can have the surety of the witness of the Spirit that we are the children of God. Remember, Wesley was asked that question by the Moravian Spannenberg, and he had no answer. When Spannenberg asked him, do you have the witness of the Spirit that you're the child of God? He could not answer. And then when they pressed him, he said, well, I hope that Jesus Christ has died for my sins. But the message of Aldersgate comes to us now in this generation, as Wesley says, in effect, not only do I feel, not only do I trust, but he says, I know, I have the assurance that my sins, even mine, are forgiven. Aldersgate is a place, but we do not know the exact place where Aldersgate Street experience took place for John Wesley. Thank God, because if we knew the exact place, we'd probably go there and erect a Methodist shrine and begin to worship at that shrine and begin to lose the meaning of the symbol. But my message to you today is that Aldersgate is an experience that cannot be duplicated in any kind, but each of us can know the experience of a heart strangely warmed. And we today are under the legacy of the witness of the Holy Spirit, by which we know that we are the children of God. And out of Aldersgate, John Wesley found the warmth and the wonder, the trust, the justifying grace, and the certitude for his salvation. And so our heritage from Aldersgate is not a place, it's not an event, it's not even a person. It's a question. Have you the witness of the Spirit today that you are the child of God? If we have been to our Aldersgate, amazing grace helps us answer yes. Let us stand.